shorter format because we know many of you listen to these recordings in your own time. There will be a Q&A webinar on September 13 where you can ask questions about this report. These updates are a part of our broader ongoing efforts to continue to be transparent, accountable, accessible, and engaging. These efforts include the executive team Q&A sessions at the ICANN public meetings, the CEO report to the board, and the new accountability indicators webpage, which was just launched a few weeks ago. This page helps you to keep the organization accountable and track progress made against the strategic plan, and there are lots of information available. I encourage you to take a look. In this update, you'll learn about a few highlights from the quarter ending June 30, which is ICANN's fourth quarter from the financial year 2017. Lido Ibarra, on the behalf of the ICANN board, will be sharing a board update, and I will cover the organization and the policy update. As always, this was a busy quarter. ICANN 59, which was our policy forum in Johannesburg, was, thanks to you, a success. We had great participation with over 1,000 attendees, 169 public sessions, and an astounding 376 newcomers, most of whom were from Africa, which I was very happy to see. I'm also very pleased that we updated our international office strategy and named our five regional offices, engagement centers and partnership centers. This was an important step leveraging our global footprint to better serve the global community. The executive team and I also spent a lot of time looking at the organization's longer-term financial planning and resourcing for your work. This is not an easy task to do, but it will help us all in the long run. I talked about this as well as many other topics in my last report to the board from May. I also encourage you to view the complaints reports we regularly post online. But now look more closely at the financials from the last quarter. Overall, we finished the financial year in an excess of $1 million instead of a budget deficit of $9 million. This was due to higher funding than budgeted by $2 million and lower expenses by $8 million. We closed out the year with $460 million of funds under management, including $233 million in auction proceeds. You can see the full financial report stating on slide 41 of the report for more details. The board also approved the FY18 operating plan and budget during ICANN 59. This was the first time after Diana's stewardship transition that the empowered community had a chance to react it, which did not happen. I also would like to inform you that Brian Schillen joined the organization as our first Director of Consumer Safeguards. He will work closely with the community to look at ICANN's current safeguards and how they might be improved to address illegal, infringing, and abuse activities that impact the domain name system. And also, in addition to his current responsibilities as Deputy General Counsel, Daniel Holleran took on a very critical role as the Chief Data Protection Officer. This is a top priority for us to ensure that we are compliant in the ever-changing data protection and privacy arena. He's focusing on ICANN organization-level data to ensure our internal data protection and privacy program is compliant and up-to-date. The nominating committee, which is tasked with selecting leadership positions in the ICANN community, has just made its selections for this year. You may have seen the recent announcement. I welcome all the new leaders who will formally take their seats at the end of our annual general meeting in Abu Dhabi, and I really would like to thank those departing for their hard work and dedication. Now on to the policy update. As I always say, the ICANN organization's role is to support and facilitate the community's policy work. When I report on these policy activities, it is just a sample of the community's work that the organization supports. There's always a lot of policy discussions going on, and last quarter was no exception. In addition to the policy forum in Johannesburg, the generic name supporting organization, or the GNSO, adopted 9 motions, and there were 9 policy development processes currently underway. The country code name support organization, or the CCNSO, adopted 16 resolutions and currently have 3 policy activities underway. The address supporting organization review is also underway, and the final report was published on August 3. You can learn more about the policy update on slides 16 to 19 in the report. As I mentioned before, last quarter we updated our international office strategy. We moved from having 3 global hubs to having 5 regional offices. Los Angeles, which is also the headquarters, Brussels, Istanbul, Montevideo, and Singapore. We have engagement centers in Washington, D.C., Geneva, Beijing, and Nairobi. And now you have to excuse me for the way I pronounce things. We also have strategic partnerships in Asuan, Cairo, and Seoul that help us reach more stakeholders around the world. We do this so we can better support the local community needs, which is recognized very greatly by regions. There are also many events we participated in last quarter, but I will highlight just a few. We held the Middle East 4th Annual DNS Forum in Cairo, which has over 100 participants. The Governmental Advisory Committee also held a capacity development workshop in Fiji for the first time. I think it's great to see training and discussions like this happening to support more participation in the ICANN work. Each quarter we highlight one region to take a closer look. This time it's Latin America and the Caribbean. In May, I visited Brazil, where I spoke at LACNIC's 27th meeting. I also met with the CCTLD community and with government officials in Brasilia. And the ever-popular roadshows in the region continued, with one being held in Peru. You can see more on slides 36 to 40. Now I'd like to do some highlights from the Global Domains Division. In May, we held our annual Global Domains Division annual summit in Madrid, which attracted more than 450 attendees from 60 countries. We also commissioned a third-party satisfaction survey to our contracted partners to help us to improve our services and identify areas of improvement. As always, we learned that there are some areas we need to improve. The survey results will be just be published the other day on our website, along with a pre-recorded message from the Meta group explaining them. We have also been proactively preparing for the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, which is planned to take effect in May next year. We're taking this very seriously, both from a community point of view and also within the organization to ensure that we're ready and compliant with the standards. We work with the community to identify user cases on personal data that people collect, display, and process, including the registries and registrars that we're contracted with. I also want to highlight some of the ongoing work in the support of registrants. Recently, we formed a cross-functional team that regularly interacts with the registrants and began discussing opportunities for collaboration with registrars to increase registrant knowledge and awareness. We are creating a dedicated webpage as an initial step to provide information for domain name registrants. The fact that we fielded more than 700 calls from registrants during the quarter underscored the importance of this activity. In addition, 1,226 new GTLDs were delegated and 1,241 registry agreements signed as of June 30. There were 150 internationalized domain names, or IDNs, delegated into the Rootsoon, including 56 IDN country code top-level domains from 38 countries and territories. And that is in 33 languages in 19 scripts. You can see the full global domains divisions on slide 25 to 29. At the most recent key signing ceremony in July, the new key signing key, or KSK, was used for signing for the first time. This was particularly significant because it was the first milestone to prepare for the upcoming key signing key rollover on October 11. This requires major preparation. It's a huge coordinated effort in the community, so it takes a few moments to talk about it. ICANN is in the process of performing a Rootsoon DNS security extension, DNSSEC, key signing key KSK rollover. For those who are not familiar with it, this is a necessary step to ensure the stability, resiliency, and the security of the Internet. As with passwords, it's now time for ICANN to change the cryptographic keys that is used in the DNSSEC signing domain name system data. This type of change has never before been done at the root level. There has only been one key signing key for the root since 2010. The key signing key rollover must be widely and carefully coordinated so it doesn't interfere with normal operations of the Internet. The goal is that no one notices anything and there is no disruption to anyone. So, on October 11, after years of research and planning with the community, the RootZone will be signed by VeriSign using a Zoom signing key signed with the new KSK. It will be a major milestone for the Internet community, and I thank you for all your hard work. If all runs smoothly, no one will notice, as we anticipate no disruption to end users. But we are coordinating closely with possible parties just in case. If you are a domain name system software developer or distributor, system integrator or network operator, you need to take action to prepare. Network operators and internet service providers still have the opportunity to use a testbed to determine the readiness for this. I encourage you to act quickly as a minimum of 30 days are needed to assess readiness for October 11 rollover. Please see slides 21 to 23 and the appendix in the report for more information. With that, I leave over to Lito.
Okay. Thank you, Goran. Hola a todos. I'm pleased to be here on behalf of the ICANN board to share what we have been working on recently. I would like to cover three areas. First, the board's work and interaction with the community during ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. Second, the agenda for the September board workshop in Montevideo and our plans for interaction with LACNIC. And third, some of the issues of most concern to the board right now. First, let me talk about the board workshop and the main activities from ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. Prior to an ICANN meeting, we focus most of our time on preparing for the meeting and interacting with the community. At our Johannesburg workshop, we discuss topics such as the community resources for things like community travel, as well as ICANN's readiness for the important General Data Protection Regulation, which Goran talked about earlier. As usual, the board was very busy at ICANN 59. We met the AFINIC board, spent time with the generic names supporting organization discussing internet governance, attended sessions on the cross-community working group on internet governance and auction procedures, attended sessions with the various review teams doing their work, met informally with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee and Root Server System Advisory Committee, and attended many other sessions. In just a couple of weeks, we'll have our board workshop in Montevideo. I'm very pleased to be having it there, since it is in Latin America, the region where I live. During the same week, the LACNIC 28 meeting will also take place in Montevideo. And for the first time, the ICANN board will meet with the LACNIC board. I'm looking forward to attending LACNIC's 15th anniversary events. During our workshop, the board will focus on board and ICANN organizations' priorities, long-term financial planning, and other strategic topics, including general data protection regulation, root zone issues, and the board's leadership transition. Let me share a bit more about what the board is working on. We are working on the board's goals for this financial year, including the structure of the goals as well as the structure of the workshops. We have spent quite a bit of time on this to make sure our goals are aligned to best meet the community's needs after the IANA stewardship transition. We continue to evolve the structure of the board workshops, organizing them by topics to help us focus on the key areas we need to address in the workshops. Regarding the board chair transition at ICANN, as you likely already know, Steve Crocker will be retiring from the ICANN board and his role as ICANN's chair, a role he has served since 2011. He was previously appointed as a board member in 2008 and has previously served on the board since 2002 as the founding non-voting SAC liaison to the board. In total, he served on the ICANN board for 15 years in these various roles. His presence, of course, will be felt long into the future, not just given his service to ICANN, are also given his foundational work on the Internet since its inception. Surely, Steve will be greatly missed. The board has a succession plan in place for Steve, and we are working together to determine our next chair and vice chair. The board will finalize decisions about the board's next leadership team during the annual general meeting in Abu Dhabi this October and November, and will formally elect the new leadership at that meeting. That concludes the board update and the end of this report. You'll find the full report that went with today's update on the ICANN website at icann.org/quarterlyreports. Thank you very much. Gracias.